Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's football withdrawal day. I don't know what that Pro Bowl mess is, but we are here. And of course, the big story, there's kind of like a third-party byline in this Super Bowl matchup is... Patrick Mahomes wins 3 in a row. The calls are going to be louder about the Mahomes-Brady discussion. And you just heard Dan Orlovsky at ESPN. Look, how can I best put this, John? And I probably should just say it. I think we're in a different era of football. And you have to look at what Brady had to get through to get to where he was. And what Mahomes had to get through to what he got to. And then you have the conversation of, are they close? So... one, are you one of those who don't want the Chiefs to win because you don't want Mahomes in the conversation with Brady because he would have won 3 in a row?
So I kind of sit on the fence with this one, if I'm being honest, in I don't want the Chiefs to be better than the Patriots, but I do respect what they've built there. So I don't like, oh my God, openly hate them. And I think if you're a real Patriots fan, you probably shouldn't hate the Chiefs because they've basically emulated what the Patriots did for 20 years. But I don't want them to be better than the Patriots either. So I if I'm being honest, I kind of straddle the fence with it.
So, look, I think Mahomes, to me, because of being of a certain age, I've clearly seen Mahomes. I saw all of Brady. I saw all of Montana. Okay, so I don't even know who the argument was before Montana. It might have been Staubach, Johnny Unitas were those conversations, right? Those guys, names
Bradshaw,
probably.
Bradshaw, maybe.
Bradshaw
won 4 in the '70s, so like,
well, yeah, but they were. But Bradshaw was really more of a manager, right? Like it was like he handed the. You know, you have you've got Franco Harris back there. I think the conversation started to become, what did you have to help you get there? And I think as we've gone on in time, and what kind of separates Brady is, how many Hall of Famers did he have on the offensive side of the ball with him in his, what, 18 years here?
A decent amount.
Like, Hall of Famer on the offensive side of the ball, how many of those guys are going to the Hall of Fame, would you say?
Like Gronkowski, Moss, Corey Dillon's probably Fame caliber guy.
No, Corey Dillon's not going to Hall of Fame.
He should.
And let's take Randy Moss off of there because Randy Moss was a star when he got here. I'm talking about
a Hall of Fame guy.
Okay, fair enough. Maybe I should refocus this. How many Hall of Fame talents were on the offensive side of the ball that really had their genesis already here in New England?
Gronkowski. And then, I mean, I don't think any of their offensive linemen would make, even though their offensive lines were good, I don't think any of those guys are Hall of Famers.
That is what, to me, really is going to separate Brady Because if you look at Mahomes, Mahomes has now gone and gotten guys, right? They've gone and gotten Hollywood. Well, I'm not saying Hollywood Brown is an MVP caliber, but they are getting, they did have Tyreek Hill at one point. So, well, maybe that makes it a push. It'd be interesting because there are some no-names out there that are running around out on the field. Like, you do have a DeAndre Hopkins out there who's going to be in the conversation, maybe not a first ballot. He could be like a fourth or fifth ballot guy, depending on where his career ends. But you're going to have these kind of names of guys that are coming through for the Chiefs and still some time. Here's the concern that I have. This conversation about Brady versus Mahomes could be over by 2030. And that's the scary, that's the real scary part, because Brady, you got the gap of what, 7 years between title three and title four.
No, 10 years. 2004 to 2014. Yeah.
Right. So that's part of the great story with Brady is, hey, who does that after not being able to do it for 10 years? That's where the argument's really going to be. Versus Mahomes, who only really, if he wins next Sunday, he would only have to win four more in the next 6 years. So that's could that happen? And that's where the conversation is.
By the way, I'd put Edelman in the Hall of Fame too. But I think when it comes to Brady, there's two important things to remember. And I put Brady for, obviously, look, I'm a Patriots fan, so I'm a little biased here. But I put Brady first for a few reasons. One, you take a look at a lot of those stats, just the raw numbers that Mahomes has, the 32,000 passing yards, 245 touchdowns, you go down the list, whatever, right? Most of his stats, he would have to double or a lot of them triple just to match what Brady has done. So we're still talking about a really big gap in raw numbers. But I think the other two pieces that I think really make the difference, number one, Mahomes is going to play almost his entire career with a 17-game season, whereas Brady played with a 16-game season. So the numbers are going to be a little bit inflated for Mahomes. I mean, if he plays 15 years, that's almost a whole extra season's worth of games that Brady didn't get. And the NFL right now is set up so much better to throw the football than it was early in Brady's career. In 2004, KJ, the average NFL passer rating, 82.8. Now, it's 10 points higher. It's 92.3. So, and I know Brady benefited from that at the end of New England and in Tampa Bay, too. But Mahomes is going to play his whole career in a league that is designed to put up big numbers and to throw the ball and to protect the quarterback, whereas Brady's first 10 years or so wasn't like that.
So it's going to take a lot for me to move me off of the Brady mountain, even when the conversation is over, because as I mentioned, you never hear of someone not being able to do it for a period of 10 years and then do it three more times, especially at that position.
Four, I think, if you count Tampa.
Right. I don't want to count Tampa.
I don't either.
Right, because that's
But that's another piece. Like, he went somewhere else with a different coach, different players, an organization that's bad. And
well,
won a Super Bowl.
Let me get back to the stats portion, because I think with Mahomes, if he gets it done sooner before the stats come, that it kind of gives a favor to Mahomes, because it didn't take as much to get to that point. And because a lot of it is leaned on him. Some can make the argument like, look, the early years for Tom, highly supported by the defense. Maybe once you say titles 3 through 6 here, all on Tom's arm for the most part, more on Tom's arm. But the first couple ones is like that defense was there in place to really get Dom still kind of a manager in the first Super Bowl, maybe a little bit more advanced than that second one. By the time you get to 3, everything is all about Tom. But I think with Mahomes, it's like every single one of them are going to be about Mahomes. Like, there's not going to be a game manager situation. The only thing that I think will probably ruin it for Mahomes in terms of the conversation, and the Chiefs may do this, is they may start going to go play, like go get like a Luka Doncic to pair up with him. Like, they're like, can you believe he went and got Davante Adams? And start consistently doing this, where it's kind of like rent a star on the outside. Even though DeAndre Hopkins hasn't become super important to what they're doing right now, he could be still till next week, right? Like, you might have gone and got DeAndre Hopkins specifically for next week's game. Travis Kelce is going to start to wear. And again, and we'll get into the conversation of Belichick and Brady and the percentage, because I think that plays into it as well. But I think right now, as it stands, and some people probably wouldn't want to hear this, I have Brady 1. I do have Mahomes 2, especially now winning another AFC championship in a row. And then plus having a chance to three-peat, and then Montana 3. I know some people don't want to hear that about Montana, but Montana is spread out over about 13 years. I think it's like 7 NFC title games and 4 Super Bowls, something like that, I believe it is. So Mahomes is clearly, I think, number two. Even if you stopped everything right now, he would be number two behind Brady. I think really the conversation you can't have about Brady versus Mahomes happens until about another five calendar years.
And I think there's kind of a misconception with Brady early in his career. And I know we had great defenses and there were Hall of Famers on those defenses. But in 2002, Brady's second year, he threw for the sixth most yards in the NFL. Like he was a top five quarterback by 03, 04. So, and I know he didn't.
Did he throw four in his second to last year?
And I know he didn't go to the next stratosphere until they got Moss and those guys in 07. But like he was a top five quarterback early on in that run in the NFL, and he was making huge plays down the stretch. So I think to your point, the Mahomes-Montana debate is a lot closer than the Brady-Mahomes debate. And Mahomes can get there, too. Like I said it earlier, I don't want the Chiefs to be better than the Patriots, but if I'm being fair and honest, Mahomes is on a track to, I mean, if he plays 12 or 13 more years, he's on a track to match a lot of Brady's numbers and probably surpass some of them. And then you can get into a debate of, you know, if the numbers are close, which one would you take? But I mean, he's on track to get there. Travis Kelce's in that Gronkowski neighborhood. Andy Reid's in that Bill Belichick neighborhood. Like, they're what they've done there is really impressive, and those guys are on those tracks to match or at least come close in that neighborhood with what the Patriots did.
Well, here's the other side of it, too, as well, is not so much who were the quarterbacks in the league, but who are the quarterbacks that these both Mahomes and Brady had to get to in their conference, right? Like, you're not going to say, well, you're Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers, like, those guys were all NFC guys. You weren't going to see them until the end. So the nemesis I would put for Brady for the AFC, he had to get through Manning, Roethlisberger, and Rivers. Yep. And pretty much that would cover that, right?
Those were the key, and obviously at the end, Mahomes. But, yeah, those were the key guys.
Right, so let's Manning, Roethlisberger, Rivers. And then Mahomes is going through Allen, Burrow, and Jackson. In the long term, who's going to have the harder quarterback?
I think that is a great question, and I actually think it's going to end up being Mahomes.
Right.
And I would take Peyton Manning over any of the modern-day guys, but that group of three, it's not just Manning versus Allen or Manning versus Jackson. Like, I'd take him over those guys, but Allen, Burrow, and Jackson could all end up being first ballot Hall of Famers.
Right. I think Jackson could potentially be a three-time MVP.
Yeah.
And still have another 10 years left in his career at this point. So I think part of that is going to go into the conversation as well, because there is going to, when Mahomes' career is over, you don't want to see injury to anybody. But if he doesn't have to go through that 10-year gap like Brady did and is able to continue to saw through an AFC that has Allen, Burrow, and Jackson, if you figure if he keeps doing this, Do those three teams keep these guys, or do those guys stay? So, you know, look, Rivers never really was a challenge to Brady. Think about it. The Patriots never had a game that they had to go play in San Diego to beat the Chargers, right?
They did. They had that divisional round game, but that was the only one. Then it was always the Chargers coming here.
Yeah. Right. Then Roethlisberger was able to get some things off. Manning clearly was the real piece. So, like you say, like if I'm talking about these six guys that weren't able to just have these astounding careers because of Mahomes or Brady. Now, again, Manning still had an incredible career. You would say Manning is the one you would take over these other five: Roethlisberger, River, Allen.
Yes, he's the next best guy.
Right,
like he's in that top five conversation with Brady, Mahomes, Joe Montana. Like he's in that conversation, but. On the whole,
comes after Manning is probably those three guys that Mahomes are going through next.
Yeah, like I said, you could make the case that Burrow, Jackson, and Allen 10, 15 years from now are all going to be first ballot Hall of Famers. Whereas Phillip Rivers, you know, and Roethlisberger, I don't think those guys, I mean, they could end up being Hall of Famers. I don't know if they're first ballot Hall of Famers.
Yeah, I think Allen, Burrow, and Jackson, you would slide in behind Manning if you had to line them all up in one line.
Yeah, that's fair.
And then to Roethlisberger and Rivers. Like you would say Rivers would be the last one of these six. But that's the thing. Mahomes is going against, he's cutting through probably two, three, and four on this list of six quarterbacks. And these six quarterbacks really represent the AFC over the last 25 years.
I will say the other side of that, though, is Brady went against better defenses, I think, on a consistent basis.
Very true.
Like that those Ravens
true.
Teams, those Steelers teams, like those defenses were better. And part of it is the rules, too. And Brady benefited from that later in his career, but the rules are set
Larry
up.
Burrow has no defense.
For, yeah, right. And the rules are set up for teams to be able to throw the football and score more now, whereas I think early in his career, especially, I mean, like the 10 years ago yesterday, the Patriots beat the Seahawks Super Bowl 49. That Legion of Boom defense, I don't think Mahomes has ever faced any defense that
But that's
good.
The NFC. That's the tricky thing.
We no, but I'm just saying in general, right. like, I think, and that's fair. And even if you stay in the AFC, like, again, the Ravens, some of those Jets defenses with Rex Ryan, like, those
right,
are
like,
awesome.
Like so if I said Manning, Roethlisberger, Rivers, and the Ravens, right? Like Brady had to go through that to get there because keep in mind, it's the Ravens that are winning that Super Bowl right before the Patriots start to take off.
Yeah.
You know, so
and then
so
they won another one right before the Patriots took off for the second time.
There you go. So, like, the Ravens and their defensive acumen are part of the story as well. And I think that that advantage Brady, because you have to look at, like, what did you go through? But I think in the hype machine that we're in now, don't get me wrong, Allen, Burrow, and Jackson are some of the best that you're going to see over the last 30 to 40 years, for sure. But these guys have not, other than Burrow, Allen and Jackson are really whiffed against Mahomes.
And even the one that Burrow won, if you remember, the Chiefs had a lead and kind of screwed up a goal line situation at the end of the first half. And that, to me, and I'm not trying to take away from Burrow, but like the Chiefs had a lead and could have won that game.
A little
game.
Bit of sleep at the wheel in that game. They did. So it'd be fascinating. Look, we'll get to the Belichick-Andy Reid situation next, plus we'll get to Patriots talk. 617-779-7937, KJ and Lions. Now time to track.
Can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. This week, it's all about buy five and get five free when you buy 10 mix and match participating items. Here are just a few. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Pepsi, or Smartwater beverages of various sizes. 16-count fresh baked cookies and pint-sized Ben & Jerry's ice cream, as well as 6 mega or 12 double rolls of Signature Select soft and strong bath tissue and 6 rolls of Brightly paper towels selected varieties. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
And with Jacob Lassner. KJ and Lions on your Sunday here on WEEI, 617-779-7937. We're about 20 minutes away from Would You Rather, More Likely To, Either Or. And then John doesn't know this, but maybe it does. There is a special mystery feature that will happen today before we get out of here at 6 p.m. John, the conversation obviously earlier this week that happened on the WEEI afternoon show, Ted Johnson had mentioned his percentage of who was responsible for everything that happened with the Patriots. And I think initially it was, what, 50% Brady and 10% Belichick. And then I think that number moved up to 15% Belichick or something like that.
80% Ted Johnson.
Yeah, well, so I think there has to be a realistic thought process behind it. And I think it kind of ties back to what I mentioned in the previous break. How many offensive guys are going to the Hall of Fame? Even if you look at Peyton Manning, he had Edgerrin James, Hall of Fame, Marshall Faulk, Hall of Fame, Rodney Harrison, Hall of Fame. Marvin Harrison.
Yeah.
Who did I say?
Rodney.
Rodney
who,
Harrison. Else,
who
yeah.
should be in the Hall of Fame?
Who should maybe? Maybe
Reggie Wayne, sport. Even? You,
Reggie
Hall
Wayne.
Of yeah.
Right. So Hall of Fame guys on the side of the ball here, we'd say Gronk and a possible with Edelman.
And I would say like Corey Dillon, Randy Moss should be Hall of, you know, those are all Hall of
Fame. I don't know if Corey Dillon is going to go to the
I don't
Hall
think
of
he, I think he's worthy of it though. I think he's going to be like Rodney Harrison where he might not get in because some writers don't
know.
Like
Rodney
him.
Harrison is on a whole nother right. level in terms of what he did at that position, especially when you're a running back, there's a lot more scrutiny, especially now in terms of yards and so forth. Like, cause it'd be hard. Like you'd probably say in this modern era, who would be the running Derrick Henry is going to the Hall of Fame.
Saquon Barkley.
Okay. Well, yeah, well, I think even with Saquon Barkley, that's really only because of these last couple of years, not because of the first few years.
Yeah,
right?
That's
like,
fair. Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Like Saquon Barkley
this
still
Eagles
has to
year
do
has
more.
Put him to another level.
Right. He has to do this for the next several years, I think, to for that recency bias to kick in versus the whole body of work to kick in, right? Because if you'd said 2 years ago, you're like, I don't know, Saquon Barkley, I don't know if he's going to hold up after this. But Derrick Henry really is kind of like a guy by himself amongst his peers. Like who else in this modern era of the running back less league is jumps out at you and says,
does Marshawn Lynch count?
Marshawn Lynch, I think will be in
yeah.
the Hall of Fame.
So, I mean, of this era. Yeah. So yeah, him, you're right. It's like him, Derrick Henry, I'd put Saquon in maybe. I mean, maybe I'm missing someone.
I would say Saquon, you would have that conversation in 2 years because you'd have to say, okay, he'd have to go on this, maybe this 4 or 5 year run. But clearly, it's been the Derrick Henry league, really, for the yeah. last 10, 15 years.
I know. So I'm trying to think if there's, like, someone I'm missing, and
it's really
I don't,
hard to with the
I don't think
back.
There is, yeah.
Yeah, text line 617-779-7937. If you can find a running back that is Hall of Fame worthy, we'd said Marshawn Lynch would be considered in there. Derrick Henry, for sure, in this modern era, because I don't know if Corey Dillon gets in as a Hall of Fame running back. But I think that's the thing with Brady, and I have to put him at 50% because of these non-stars that he had. So literally half the work that was the half of the work of the succession plan of what happened with the Patriots is because of Brady. You go higher, you go lower than 50.
So I go 40 for Brady.
Really?
Yeah.
I
because I put more stock. So I go 40 for Brady, 30 for Belichick.
Whoa.
I put a lot more stock. I put 25% in all the other players and coaches that were here too. So I put more in that than other people.
What pie chart is that? You know, like in all the other players, like someone over here is 0.8%.
I think a lot of people never give those guys credit. Like people like Scott Pioli, Dante Scarnecchia, Ty Law, Richard Seymour, like those guys never get credit.
So who do all those guys fall under for the most part? Belichick. Would you not say?
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying there. I just give them individual credit because like they in their own right were great.
So that's why I give Belichick 45%.
And that's right? If you put that together, I get what you're saying.
Right, because the players on defense, the coaching staffs, the personnel, the change to the two tight end offense in lieu of lack of spending on his own part. You see what I'm saying? Like, so there were some innovations. That's why I give Belichick 45%, which leaves 5%.
Like Darrell Revis, Stephon Gilmore.
Right. Yeah. 5% Robert Kraft.
Yeah, I give ownership 5% as well.
And here's why. You cannot tell me in the modern league that we're in, and you just even saw it with the Giants and they got burned, is you don't trade your first round number one overall quarterback and is $100 million quarterback, $100 million contract. I mean, keep in mind, it's not like Drew Bledsoe just had this big fall off. He was a Pro Bowler pretty much a year and a half, like his first full year really in
Buffalo.
Helped
him win that AFC Championship game at 0-1, too.
Right. So, like, it's not like he was anything to sneeze at. Robert Kraft was willing to say, hey, I know we've spent all this money on Drew to go ahead and bench him for what is done now normally. If there's a guy who's a sixth rounder you feel like can get it done, get him in there. We're not paying him anything. Because if you look at guys like late third round or fourth round or later, you're like Russell Wilson, Brock Purdy, Dak Prescott. These are all teams that Kirk Cousins, as well as a fourth rounder, these are teams that said, you know what? We believe this guy can be our guy and not have to pay him top round number one money, say like a Daniel Jones. Where look how bad the Giants were burned.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
flamed.
By the way, good text from the 603. Christian McCaffrey. I think he might be a Hall of Fame running back. I knew I was forgetting somebody.
Can't right. Say. So, yeah, Christian McCaffrey will be in the Hall of Fame just because he's really Derrick Henry's only compliment right during this period of time. Because you can look at, like, think about it. Lamar Jackson ran for 900 yards this year. How many running backs would kill to have had 900 yards this year? So the way the game has changed, it's just fascinating. But I think that 5% going to Robert Kraft of saying, yeah, I could, because it could have very well.
I think the stability piece is important too. Yeah. Like, I know the Krafts have taken a lot of heat, including from me and you, over the past few years, and a lot of it's been deserved. But if you look at the totality of their dynasty, they were stable owners. I mean, think about some of the owners around the NFL, whether it's the Cowboys, the Browns, some of these teams that have erratic owners.
Well, the Browns weren't good.
But part of that was because ownership, like, always got in the way. The Jets, same deal, right? Like, so just them not getting in the way for, I give them 5% because of that as well.
Well, yeah, because of stability. You probably say some of the most stable franchises during the Patriots era would be, obviously, the Patriots. You'd put the Ravens in that category
Steelers,
as well. The
Colts.
Steelers. Right, Steelers. Well, the Colts have been, they've been a bit wishy-washy.
Well, the Colts until Manning left, I guess, yeah.
Right, so that's all during that time. So, really, you're like, the Cowboys are not in that mix. Maybe you can make an argument that Green Bay has been because of being able to, they took that risk in going and get Rodgers while they still had Favre, and there was at least a level of consistency that was there. But when you're talking about the stableness of franchises, the Bills are just starting to try and get, they were just starting to get their footing. The Jets have not been in that mix. The Dolphins have not been in that mix. I mean, you can look around the league, even if you look at the AFC South, Houston looked like they were going to be that kind of fell apart. Jacksonville is still putting pieces together. Yeah. Tennessee, a bit of stability, but you would probably say that's why Vrabel was so desirable to go get as a head coach, because that's probably one of the more stable franchises over the last 10 years, despite not winning so much.
And even the Chiefs now have a lot of stability at ownership, and I think that helps.
Right. Yeah, even the and the stability for the Chiefs at ownership. Well, in terms of middle management, does come with Andy Reid, because during the Romeo Crennel situation, you had the player that killed himself, and so there was a lot of unstable things going on inside the organization. And when I lived in Kansas City, gosh, we're talking about 20 years ago, it was still kind of the local family Walmart before they figured out, like, hey, we can kind of do this outside of our own region. 617-779-7937. Let's go to David in the car. Thanks for calling KJ and Lions on your non-football Sunday. David, thanks for the call.
Well, good afternoon, guys. Thank you. So a couple of things that I look at. Patriots and then Mahomes. So Mahomes is in the same conversation as Joe Montana. We cannot put him in the same conversation as Brady. And this is why I say this. And then I'm going to get to Brady. What percentage is Brady? What percentage is Belichick? So the reason you don't put Mahomes in the same conversation as Brady, not only he had six in New England, the first year he goes to another team, he wins it. That is by far the most impossible thing to do. And I'll give you an example that they took a player from, which is Cristiano Ronaldo, and brought over to the Arabia, Far East, whatever the hell he is now. And they haven't won nothing down there with him. And he's a great player. So it's extremely difficult for a player to leave an organization like Brady and go to another, regardless what weapons he might have had. Well, everybody can throw that out there. You had Mike Evans, yada, yada, so and so.
Godwin, Antonio Brown, Gronk came.
Yeah,
but they were 7-9 the year before.
Yeah. It is impossible. Because look, what's his name? Look at Roger. He's not doing it. He ain't going to do it. The reason I say it's 60% Brady, 30%, I would say, to 40, 30 to 35. I would say 30, Belichick, and the rest of the team. Brady didn't have superstar players. Other than Moss, who did he have that you can say is a Hall of Famer? With New England. So the way he won, without having Hall of Famers like Peyton Manning did, and some of these other guys have had, it's extremely impossible to do. This is why Brady will be, in my eyes, 60% all along.
David, thanks for the call. Yeah, the only thing I would kind of push back on is Brady went to Tampa and got the things that he could not even get a piece of to stay in New England, right? Like, you walk in, there's Mike Evans, there's Chris Godwin, Gronk will eventually come and join you.
Leonard
and you
didn't Fournette even, went there.
Leonard yeah. Fournette.
But they had gone 7-9 the year before with a lot of those guys.
Well, but
so
but,
in fact, like but, that's
wait, a, wait, okay, come on. Who was the quarterback
Jameis
the year
Winston.
Before?
That's, okay. But that's the thing. A new what guy comes in.
Jameis Winston is not even gone 7-9 since that, then.
That's the point. Brady came in, took over a team with a losing record during COVID, by the way, won a Super Bowl. I think that's a big separator. And that's why with Mahomes, too, you wonder, is Andy Reid going to be his head coach his whole career? Like, could Andy Reid retire in 5 or 6 years and there's a new head coach? How does Mahomes do with that? How does Mahomes do once Travis Kelce retires? We've seen them win a Super Bowl after trading Tyreek Hill, so I'll give them that. But, I mean, Brady won Super Bowls early, all those guys left, and then he won Super Bowls with a whole new group of guys around him in the second half, and then a whole nother new group in Tampa. So I think that's a big credit to Brady.
So how many, just guessing, you can get, you don't have to be, I'm not like you when you ask me on Professor Lyons, I need an exact number. I'll give you
yeah, you're
within
pretty good
the
at
tens.
That, by the way.
Yeah. How many wins do you think Andy Reid is away from Belichick, from passing Belichick, including playoff wins? Because that's how they're
counting. I want to say it's like 40.
You would be okay because you didn't, well, you did go over the number. It's 32.
32, okay.
32. So is Andy Reid staying around? You bet your ass he's staying around.
For 32 more wins, especially now that Bill's in college football, so there's right. going to be no more distance created.
Right. The only thing is that separates them, obviously, is a Super Bowl win. So Reid would have to get to 7 to pass Belichick. And if he does that, he's going to at least be 15 games ahead of Belichick all-time in wins. Right? So you figure if
losers.
Right, well, here's the other part of that. If we're going to make the argument that, hey, Brady is thrown for this amount of yards and that amount of, you know, again, I say, I don't know if Patrick Mahomes has to be in the league as long as Brady has been, because I don't think there are going to be too many people that are, and be able to be in that conversation, because are we arguing stats? This is what used to happen years ago. Dan Fouts used to always be brought up in conversations about why his name was not in the mix of great quarterbacks at that time. And they would say, well, he'd never won anything. All he did was have all these stats in a pass-heavy offense that was called Air Coryell and just had absolute astounding receivers. If you don't know, Google is free. But with Brady, I would say, hey, the conversation about Brady isn't about the yards. It's about winning these championships, right? And if that's what it's going to stick to, I think it's going to have to be about winning these championships. So I think for the franchise, for the Patriots, I think you're like, okay, Mahomes would have to win 7, will have to win 6 of them himself, and that puts the Chiefs past the Patriots at 7 total. But, you know, Mahomes didn't win the one in 70. So Mahomes has to win 6 by himself to put the Chiefs past the Patriots. But I think he has to win 7 himself to really be in the conversation with Brady, because it would put the Chiefs most likely 2 past the Patriots, unless the great things happen, and just as many as Brady.
And there's other layers to this too, like clutch situations, game-winning drives. Brady, NFL record 14 game-winning drives in the playoffs. Mahomes has 7, which is good, but still, he'd have to double his total just to match Brady. And that's, I think, another. Or even look at Brady's year in 2008. Gets a catastrophic injury, comes back from it, still wins 4 more Super Bowls. Mahomes, to his credit, and I hope it stays this way, he's been healthy his entire career. What if he has some sort of injury to suffer through? So that's why it's just, I think, so early to have this conversation, because there's such a gap in a lot of these numbers and accomplishments. And if you want to throw in the head-to-head thing, Brady did beat him twice in the postseason head-to-head, and didn't just beat him, but out-dueled him on the road in an AFC championship game. So like that, you can put that in there too.
Yeah, so yeah, great. It's good that they have the head-to-head, because I think that will be a reference point. But I think also it was what Tampa's defense did to frustrate Mahomes.
In that Super Bowl,
In that Super Bowl, Mahomes just did not look like himself. Ed, thank you so much for calling WEEI, 617-779-7937. Good Sunday to you.
And we just lost Ed.
Ed just dropped.
Ed just dropped off. So
I think he wanted to say how awesome of a show we have, and we're both wonderful. And
well, there's so many ways he could say that. We're just not going to give out Ken Laird's email address over the air, or Mike Thomas's email address, or Mark Hannon's email address. No, totally. No, maybe we will. But yeah, see, that's the
watch your profanity.
Yeah. Look, I think what's going to be frustrating about the conversation about Mahomes versus Brady is because we're in this super cycle of social that you really wouldn't, I don't think it'd be very hard to have a real honest conversation without people getting caught up in, like, even with LeBron and the Michael Jordan comparison. You know, the argument I would have is, like, Michael Jordan was not 6'9 and built like Karl Malone. You know, like, these are things that you have to factor in. Brady and Mahomes, they have a different type of skill set in terms of how they get out of situations. Brady's going to get out of the situation with his arm. Mahomes can always use his feet, right? So these are things that, like, when you start to have a real serious conversation about Brady Mahomes, I don't think you really can have that conversation at least until 2030. And by that time, you would say, okay, Mahomes has had 10 years. Where is he? Where was Brady at 10 years? We know where the Brady story goes, and that's almost impossible to do. So Mahomes doesn't get into the conversation to me with Brady if he goes stagnant for a long period of time and doesn't pick up and doesn't catch up to Brady. And if he's one under Brady.
And you illustrated it earlier, all the great quarterbacks that Mahomes has to go against. So far, right. He's been perfect in the playoffs against Jackson and Allen. He lost right. The one game to Burrow. But if, I mean, at some point, are the Ravens going to break through and win a Super Bowl? Are the Bills and beat them? And then all, like, and that kind of happened to Brady. I mean, remember 06, Patriots had won 3 Super Bowls. They lose the playoffs in 05, 06. Peyton Manning finally breaks through and wins one. And that's one less that Brady, because I think the Patriots would have won the Super Bowl that year, but that's one less that Brady has. So he finally broke through. I mean, you can say the same thing about the Ravens in 2012. They finally broke through and beat the Patriots in an AFC championship
game. 2015, was that 2015 where Manning goes to the Broncos as the rent-em spoon?
13 and 15, they beat them both. 13. But that was also like 15. The Patriots had like half their team on injured reserve.
Right.
And the Broncos win, but that's another Super Bowl Brady doesn't have. Like, is that going to start happening to Mahomes at some point in the next 4 or 5 years? Especially, like I said, at some point, Travis Kelce's going to retire. At some point, Andy Reid is going to retire. And I think Mahomes is going to be great no matter what. Don't get me wrong. But does he handle the changes in the transition as well as Brady did? Because I think that's a huge check mark in the Brady column. It's just the variety of styles and teammates that he won with over the years.
Well, I do think another part of it in terms of the Mahomes piece is, hey, let's say you get to 2030, okay, and he's won 6 Super Bowls by 2030. Then that says that Joe Burrow only broke through once, maybe Lamar Jackson broke through once, maybe Josh Allen broke through once. And that would be super impressive if you've kept those three guys down in a concurrent span. I think what has to happen and what kind of will separate or never get that conversation to that point is if Burrow or Allen or Lamar Jackson are able to each win one, or two of those three are able to win one, or all three of them win one during this run now. I just don't know if Patrick Mahomes is going to be in the league for 20 years. And this is now where we get into where styles make players and fights. And like Brady, because of the upright ability of him and not having to worry about taking runs and getting hits on the run, what Brady rushed for, 1,001 yards his entire career, something like that.
That sounds right, yeah.
It's something like that, right? Over 20 years where you could say, hey, Mahomes has done that. He gets you to 1,000 yards rushing over 4 seasons. So Mahomes can't be that running guy anymore, and that's where that adjustment we'll have to see. When Mahomes really can't use those legs to get them out of situations, is he able to get him out of situations? That, I think, is really going to be a big separator between surpassing Brady, because Brady never used a secondary superpower, right? Lamar Jackson has that. They're really a primary superpower.
I would say Josh Allen has it. Burrow has it to an extent. They kind of all do.
Right, where you're looking, Manning didn't have it. Roethlisberger never really used it. Rivers didn't really have it. So that even shows you the change of the game. Those guys, none of those guys were a threat to take off with the ball. These guys here, Mahomes, Allen, Burrow, and Jackson, all can do it as part of their game plan. And there's still other guys still coming up the pike. Like, what happens, because now you say, hey, look, C.J. Stroud has pretty much been to the playoffs every year he's been in the league. Of course, they've been relegated to the Saturday 4:30 welcome to the playoffs.
But they've been there.
But they've been there, and so these other guys are coming through. Does Tua become what people believe that Tua can become? All these other,
even Justin, Herbert with Jim Harbaugh now, does that get it to another level?
Right. So if these guys start to, let's say, supplant or usurp maybe an Allen or Burrow or Jackson, and these are the guys that prevent them getting there, then if we now are starting to talk about five or six guys who are consistently in the mix and Mahomes is still able to beat them, that's a check mark towards Mahomes, because those guys are supposed to be able to do what you're doing and you're not doing. And plus the stat, I don't know the number off top, but in terms of how many one possession games that the Chiefs have won.
Is it 15 straight possession games? It's like it's 14 or 15 off the top of my head. I don't know.
Right. So if they continue to have something like that where teams are able to play them close and the difference immediately is Patrick Mahomes, then you would say, okay, because, you know, some games the Patriots were able to just kind of like walk them away. Other times, you know, if you look at the 16-3 game against the Rams, like, you didn't need a whole lot other than just completely shutting down the head coach. And that's where you would say, that's a Super Bowl that straight up Belichick won for you, just because he shut down the offensive guru. So you would say, back to these percentages, so you say 60, 35...
That was the caller. I have 40 Brady, 30 Bill, 25% everyone else, and 5% ownership.
I have 50 Brady, 40 Bill. No, I have 50 Brady, 45 Bill, 5% ownership. But I also put all the defensive stuff, the personnel calls, the working with, because even though Bill was the de facto GM, like you mentioned, when you have Pioli and all these other guys that were part of the mix at the time. Because keep in mind, by Pioli taking that job in Kansas City, they then started to understand what the blueprint was for here. And that's because of Belichick, of how you work with the head coach. You're not really, it's not really like, you know, I'm the leader and you're the follower. It's a co-working thing that they've got in Kansas City with Andy Reid, because you're not going to be running Andy Reid like he's just an employee. Andy Reid's input is just as important as probably with the GM, and together they work. That comes from with Belichick and work at Pioli and guys over time. That's why my number for Belichick is a little bit higher, even the defensive side, right? Because that's what Bill does. That's what he was able to do. He was able to get great things out of players that other people thought in the league. Like, I mean, look at Junior Seau. Junior Seau probably gets into the Hall of Fame easier because of him extending his years here than being in San Diego saying, wow, that was a really great player. And there would have been some people like, I don't know. I mean, he was great, but once you get to the Patriots and he's later in his years and a heavy contributor, it became a no-brainer.
Yeah, and I think there's just so many guys in this run, and it's going to happen with the Chiefs too, that just never get appreciated. I mean, look at the Chiefs right now. I mean, no one's going to give Joe Tooney or Creed Humphrey any credit, but those guys deserve it. And it's the same thing with the Patriots. All those, I mean, no one gives Ty Warren a bunch of credit, and he deserves, like, and Rodney Harrison and all those guys. Like, that's the thing. I think when people zero in on this conversation too much,
those offensive linemen you mentioned, I think, are on their way to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, Tooney is. Humphrey, I could see being on. Right. I mean, he's still young. I could see being on that track, though.
Right.
But I think people just zero in too much on the Brady, Belichick, Mahomes, Reed thing. And when you look beyond that, there's a ton of other guys that are major pieces that deserve credit.
Fall into coaching, right? That's why you get Belichick at 45%. It's KJ Lyons next. Would you rather more likely to either or on your football list Sunday here on WEEI? Thanks so much for hanging out. Anytime I get the song, I say, Lions back together again. When's the last time we did the show together? What was it, 2 days before Arcan show came on?
Yeah, I think that was that Tuesday night, right?
Yeah, you text me at home like, hey bro, were you okay? Because you went off. And I was just like, I am an entertainer, and am I not? And, you know, it probably comes from me watching a lot of pro wrestling.
Should win an Emmy for that.
I should win an Emmy for that show that night.
Yeah. If we're on Twitch, does that count as a TV show so we can win an Emmy? I think so.
Does that count for more pay?
Like, no. Not that I
like, you're showing my face. There needs to be another rate for that, you know?
You see these people outside the Mavs arena protesting the Luka trade?
But
out there with signs. There's three guys brought a coffin and said, RIP Mavs.
Yeah,
I'm literally
yeah.
looking at a video of it right now.
But here's what's crazy about that, because obviously that's been the breaking news story today. And look, I'm kind of a homer here. I'd rather talk about Tatum's last second shot in New Orleans more so than who cares about Luka the Twinkie. Like, here's the issue that I think that people who look at basketball from a written perspective and then don't see it from the ownership perspective and the player level perspective. Luka is a great marketing tool to get non-traditional people to watch basketball. However, the traditional basketball people can't get Luka in shape. Like, this is Luka.
We saw it in the finals last year.
Right. So, in essence, what the Lakers did was saying, hey, this is a marketing opportunity for us. If we're not going to have LeBron in a year, maybe by trade deadline, you never know, because if the guy who represents Anthony Davis is the same guy that represents LeBron, and you just got one of your clients away from your other client, you may be on your way of getting LeBron out of there too. So if the Lakers know this, they're going to say, you know what? Winning it right now doesn't even matter because Luka isn't going to be on the court for maybe a couple more weeks.
And I did see some early reports that it seems like LeBron wants to stay in LA, and maybe family considerations are part of that too. But
kids are out of college.
That was one of the first things I thought of, is that you have two ball dominant players. Luka's clearly the future. I mean, would they try to?
I said the same thing when Kyrie got to Dallas. I said the NBA does not allow a team to play with two basketballs at one time. And that's what was going to happen with Luka and Kyrie. And the crazy thing is, Kyrie became a better deferrer once he got to Dallas. So now if you give Kyrie at least two big men that he can play pick and roll off of, you've got Klay Thompson who could still hit it from outside. And now let's say you say, okay, do we really need Gafford and Derek Lively and Washington? You could package two of those three guys with a draft pick and say, hello, Miami. We'll take that Jimmy Butler problem off of your hand. And if you tell me you've got Kyrie, Butler, Klay Thompson, Anthony Davis, and either Lively or Gafford, you're not going to tell me that's not a better team playing the Celtics in the NBA Finals?
It's fascinating, because I thought last year in the NBA Finals, again, Luka's raw numbers, I think he averaged like 28 points a game. Like, they were good, but he shot 24% from three, and I think part of that is he was a little out of gas. And remember how bad he was defensively in that series? And that's why, like, when you...
They were going straight at him.
Yeah, all five games it felt like. I mean, remember how bad he was in game three,
right,
too, especially? And then he fouled out, and he was complaining and all that. Like, that's another piece. Like, we talked earlier about, like, him and Tatum and the differences, and obviously I'm a Celtics guy, so I'd want Tatum. But
right,
another piece... of all this, like when the Celtics lost the finals in 2022, Tatum played poorly, and we criticized him heavily for that. But it was more about, hey, he didn't play well, he didn't shoot well. It wasn't, hey, we don't think he's in shape, and we don't think he wants to win as much. It was, he just played bad. And that's a big, big difference.
Bro, Sam Hauser was locking in on Luka. Like, because remember going to the series, you're like, oh man, it could be some tough minutes.
Because
what
did we talk about? The non-Tatum minutes when Luka was on the floor, the non-Jalen.
Right.
We talked about that before this year. What are they going to do when Luka's on the floor and Tatum and Brown aren't, or just one of them is on? How are they going to handle it? And they were fine.
Look, with Anthony Davis, I totally get, you know, the whole glass man, the street clothes thing and everything. And that is all true, because you can't deny what has happened. But you also can't deny that Luka Doncic, at 25, they're having this guy lost, what, 100 and something million because now he can't get the Supermax, because the only way you get the Supermax is you stay with your team, because the NBA really encourages keeping your superstars so you can pay them more to stay. You've lost hundreds of millions of dollars just because this team says, yeah, we're not happy with your fitness. Like, you don't have class to go to. You see what I'm saying? Like,
and that's the thing.
You live in a state where they don't even tax you.
Like, I just keep thinking back to last year in the finals.
Yeah.
And look, they were in the NBA finals, so I'm not trying to say the Mavs sucked. They were in the finals, but the Celtics were more talented. We knew that. But watching that series, it just felt like there was something else there too. And I'm not saying the Celtics wanted it way more than the Mavs or anything like that, but it felt like the Celtics had this determination in their game, if you will, for lack of a better word, that the Mavs just, it wasn't fully there. Part of it was the Kyrie stuff. Remember how bad he was playing at TD Garden? But then, like, Luka's the best player on that team. And it felt like, and the one game the Mavs won was really, I thought, the Derek Lively game in game four. He was great that Friday night game four. Derek Lively, that was his best game of the series. It just felt like Something was missing.
So if you're the Mavs and you came away from last year's NBA Finals, you would say our superstar didn't show up, and then our budding star was the only one who showed up in our only game that we won. That's what's funny, because people buy the Luka jerseys. They love the whole prospect of him being the star in the league. But they're like, he's only 25. I said, wait, at 25, they're having a conversation about his physical fitness?
And I do find
it weird,
though.
You
want
to give him a 10-year deal? What I think was going to be, his Supermax was going to be like 370-something?
I think the huge mistake, it would have been like 350, 360, something like that.
Yeah.
I think the big mistake, though, they made is they only talked to the Lakers. Like, they should have turned this into a bidding war.
Why? If you want to get rid of somebody, it doesn't matter who you pawn them off on.
But they could have gotten a lot more for him. Like, even from the Lakers, the Lakers had two first-round picks available to trade. The Mavs only got one.
It's like this. Imagine you had a Lamborghini, but the Lamborghini was a lemon. Do you say, hey, I've got this lemon. Hey, I got this Lamborghini. If you know how to fix it, go ahead. Or do you make a call? You're like, hey, we know that you would only pretty much want Luka Doncic because you know it's a marketing deal. You could care less that the thing isn't playing, it doesn't drive the way it does. That's the Lakers. You can do that with the Lakers because the Lakers, think about this. When have the Lakers gone and got somebody where the trading team said, the reason why we're trading him is because we're concerned about his fitness? Like, you think he's going to turn that on? Suddenly that spigot turns on overnight? Or if you're the Lakers, you're like, you know what? We kind of don't care because we know Luka puts butts in seats. He puts eyes on the television, and he's going to score 25 points a game for you.
He's going to be pissed off because the Mavs gave up on him and traded him, and maybe that'll change his attitude. I mean, they could be banking on that too in LA, and then he'll mature.
Luka's getting 40 shots off a game now with that roster.
I'm just saying, from their perspective, maybe they're banking on that. I do think it was a mistake, though, for the Mavs to not at least try to make this some sort of bidding war. And I know they wanted to get rid of him, but
So who makes the phone call around the league that can offer up something that's comparable to Luka Doncic without this extending on through this whole time? And then
they could have played it out. They have him under contract for another year.
No. When you have a superstar like that who you're unhappy with, you do this and you do this like a thief in the night.
They did it. But I look at what.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.